through your prayers this evening. But be able to bring out what the Lord has given us. I'd like to say again, I'm very thankful to have been here. Enjoyed being with you and never found any other people like the people of God. The song that we sometimes sing always rings so true in my heart. I found a good home in the fold of my Lord, where His sanctified children all dwell. I'm thankful. I want you to know that I love each one of you. Appreciate the songs that were sung. Believe the Lord ordered them. I'd like to speak to us tonight about fighting the good fight. I hope that's your determination. To me, that song that was just sung is a song of determination. It's a song that we sing in the face of the devil. No matter what you bring, no matter what you try to come against us with or come against me with, I've had enough. I'm not taking anymore. I'm standing my ground now. I'm not going to allow you to work your work in my life. There's a place that I'm going to stand and I'm not going to be moved from it. I hope that's our determination. This thing is going to require some fighting. It's going to require a determination on my part. I can't just hope and sit back and hope I'm going to make it somehow. I hope somehow that the kingdom's just going to fall in my lap. But it said every man presses into it. The violent take it by force. Are you willing tonight to apply some force? How much does this thing mean to you? Are you willing to fight for it? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. You pray for us. 1 Timothy 6. Familiar passage. Paul speaking unto Timothy. As I understand, about 5 to 6 years before his death. He said in the 12th verse, 1 Timothy 6, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Timothy, I'm soon going to be passing off the scene, but I want to leave a charge with you. You're going to labor for many years after I'm gone. I want you to know there's a cause worth fighting for, as was sung. There's something that's worth standing your ground for. There's something that's worth hazarding your life for. Timothy, be prepared. There are going to be some hardships that come your way. There are going to be some battles and some difficulties. But Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Put forth some effort. Lay hold on eternal life. Seize it with everything that you have to lay hold on that prize that's set before us. It's going to require some great effort on our part. You know, there are many cultures, many nations, many religions that realize there's a battle going on. Some of them characterize it by darkness and light, and some of them good versus evil. But it's captured right here. That battle that's going on for our souls. There are some, many, that look for an age and a time to come that the battle will be waged. That there will be a great battle and there will be bloodshed up to the horse's bridle. But I want us to realize and believe that spiritual language. Believe the battle is already taking place. It's not a battle for literal kingdoms, but it's a battle for our souls. And it's a battle for every one of us today. The casualties are high. There are many that have fallen. The bloodshed spiritually is already running deep. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, help us to be willing to fight the good fight, to be willing to lay hold on eternal life, to be willing to put forth the effort. That I say this thing is worth fighting for. War is never a pleasant thing. Battle is never something that a country, United States at least, has wanted to go into. Remember, well, most of us wouldn't remember, but World War II, the start of that war, the United States mindset was, I want nothing to do with it. You leave us out of this, you fight your war, you keep your battles to yourself, we're already battle weary, we've already been through World War I, things are going pretty well at home. We want nothing to do with this war. We don't want to go on foreign soil and have to put our men out there in harm's way. It's dangerous. It requires a lot of cost, a lot of effort. Instead, we don't want it. We want to remain neutral in this thing. want to be able to just say, count us out either way. Maybe we'll provide some ammunition or some arms, but other than that, you just count us out of this battle. But a wake-up call came on December 7th, 1941. That morning, whenever bombers came over and laid siege to Pearl Harbor. And all of a sudden, that morning was a wake-up call to this nation. You know what? There is no such thing as neutrality. It doesn't matter that we said we don't want to be involved. All of a sudden, we've been dragged right into the middle of this. They're in this for us. They intend to take our lives. Over 4,000 men that were either killed or harmed in that battle. In that one day, in that one attack, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel the oppression of the enemy. I feel him coming against me, and I've myself realized at times, if I can put it this way, that incoming missile was for me. That one was intended to take me out. That one was meant for my soul. Now it's not just something that's removed. This is a battle for my own life. I've got to be willing to fight. I can't just say I'm going to be neutral. I can't just say, count me out of this and I'm going to sit on the sidelines. There are no spectators in this. If we think that maybe we don't have to be involved, chances are we're already losing the battle. Because there is one that is intent on destroying us. We've already brought out in this meeting, Jesus stated His purpose in no uncertain terms. Here's what He's come to do. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's His purpose. That's what He's going after. You know, sometimes a nation will look at a threat and they'll have to determine, how do we respond to this? Do we respond by diplomacy? Do we go and try to talk to them? Maybe we can put some sanctions in place. Maybe some embargoes will restrict them and it'll provide motivation to them that they'll quit that behavior. There is no negotiating with the enemy of our soul. There is no diplomacy. The time for diplomacy has passed. Warfare has already been declared on our souls. And it's time to fight. It's time for every one of us to say, I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to fight for my life. I'm willing to put my life on the line and stand right here and say, I'm going to fight until the Lord calls me home. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Be willing, whatever cost, to fight against the enemy of our souls. They were intent, as this country realized, on destroying us. The day after, I believe it was, Hitler then declared war on the United States as well. All of a sudden, all hopes of neutrality, all hopes of being able to sit on the sidelines and observe were gone. Now we were pulled into the middle of it. You know, shortly after that happened, shortly after Pearl Harbor and what I have called a wake-up call to our nation, they said that the recruiting offices were busy. There were people that were starting to line up saying, count me in. Sign me up, because now this thing has been driven home. I realize now that was my brother, that was my neighbor that was killed. Sign me up. And the size of the Marine Corps in the next 6 months tripled in size by the number of people that were saying, I want to fight in this thing. I would to God tonight that our desire, that our resolve would be, Lord, sign me up. Lord, I want to fight. Lord, I'm willing to fight in this thing. I realize it's personal. I realize it's getting close to home. I realize the enemy is out to attack my very soul. And I see the damage. I see the casualties all around. Oh, it should cause within us to rise a righteous indignation against the enemy of our soul. To look on, to see the things that he's doing, to see the damage that he's causing in people's lives and homes. And it should cause a desire within us. Jesus said, He came to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, if I can help in any way. Lord, I want to destroy the works of the devil too. I want to thwart his efforts. Every attack, every missile that he tries to bring in, Lord, I want to be able to raise the shield of faith. I want to be able to defend myself, my home, my family. I want to be able to protect our lives. But more than that, Lord, I want to be able to fight. I want to be able to turn the battle to the gates. I want to be able to go and put 10,000 to flight. You see, this thing is defensive. First and foremost, protect my own soul. I've got to make heaven. There is no other option. But there's more to it than that. Lord, I also want to put the enemy to flight. I also want to chase him and turn him away. I believe the enemy would like nothing more than for us to sit back and just take what he's doing, sitting down. To take the things that he's trying to bring in, the encroachments that he's trying to make in our lives, among the camp of the saints, the places that he's laying siege to. You know, have you ever heard of shock and awe? The beginning of the Iraq war, that was the start of it. They go in and they just pull all stops and bomb for hours and hours and hours on end. The purpose of that is to intimidate. It's to cower down. It's to cause to think there is no hope. There's no use in even fighting back. You know, that's what the enemy wants to do with us. That I look around and I think, oh, what's the use? In the time that we're in, the Lord doesn't again want us to bury our heads in the sand, but to realize it's time to fight. It's time to defend my soul. It's time to take the fight to the enemy. Because he is intent on stopping short of nothing more than stealing and killing and destroying from every one of us. I don't believe the strategy is going to work that I'll just hunker down and hope he won't see me. Maybe if I just duck down, I'll fly under the radar, so to speak. And the enemy won't see. I don't believe that's going to work. Lord, help us, everyone, to have the resolve and the determination. I'm going to fight. Wouldn't it be nice if spiritual progress went uncontested? If, as I trust and pray, maybe you've been challenged in this meeting. Maybe there's something that the Lord's dealt with me on. Wouldn't it be nice if I could just go from here and know that there was nobody going to come try to contest it? But I can assure you, this enemy is going to come along to every one of us and contest. We can't just win this thing by sitting down. But I find we have to fight for every step of the way. Every bit of progress that I want to make. Every bit of land that I say, Lord, I want more land. I want more spiritual land. I want to make some progress here. I don't want to keep going in circles. I've got to fight for it. I can't just say it and hope it falls into my lap. I've got to want it enough that I say, Lord, I'm willing to fight for it. Satan, I'm willing to fight for it. I'm willing to fight you over this thing, not in my own strength, but by the power that rests within me. I'm willing to take the battle to you. Remember what David said when he went up to see how the battle fared? Whenever he saw what was happening, there rose within him a righteous indignation. How dare this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is defying the Most High God? And as he was chastised by his brothers, he said, is there not a cause? I want to ask every one of us, first of all, how does the battle fare? How does the battle go in your own life? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause, as was sung, that's worth fighting for? That's worth laying my life on the line and say, I'm willing to stand and I'm willing to fight here? Lord, help us that we be willing to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. As I mentioned, I don't believe this fight is just hunkering down. I believe it's more than just survival. I had the Lord come to me and deal with me once. Clint, I've got more for you than just surviving. I've got more for you than just crippling along. There's more for you than just getting by. But you are to have the strength to be able to take the battle to the gates. To turn the battle, to be able to fight. There is a great work to be done. You know, we can read, I've enjoyed reading the old books that have been passed down from the saints. Katrina's been reading some of Brother S.O. Susag's book. Reading of all the amazing ways that the Lord worked through him. The responses and the way that the Lord was able to move mightily. You know, we can look back on those times and think it's a shame those times are past. It's a shame that those days are over with now. You know, I believe that's what the enemy wants us to think. No, I realize that the day may not still be that we'll get hundreds of people out in the field to attend a brush arbor meeting. But you know, by the same token, the enemy would like for us to sit back and think there's no use. Yeah. Nobody wants it. It's not worth taking the battle. It's not worth expending the energy to go out there, to work, to fight. I want to challenge us. The work of God is great. Yeah. The fields are still white for harvest. It may be different, but it is for me to say, Lord, teach my hands to fight. Lord, show, establish thou the work of my hands. It cannot be me just going about and seeing a need and running out there on my own strength. But Lord, I stand here ready. I'm ready to fight. I've got my house in order. Lord, I'm ready to go do the work of God. Lord, if there's any place that I can destroy the works of the enemy, Lord, I want to raise my hand and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I don't know what you can do with this little boy with just a little few stones and a sling. But Lord, I know one thing. I don't like the way he's talking about my God. And I'm willing, Lord, for you to use me in any way that I can. I'm ready to fight. There's a cause worth fighting for.
Yes.
There's more to it than just hunkering down and trying to survive. I was reading a historical account of a battle, the Second Punic War, around the 2nd century B.C. The Carthaginians were fighting against the Romans. And the Romans outnumbered them by 30, 40,000 men. And so they came and they joined forces. Carthaginians were able to outmaneuver and outflank them and get in from behind them. And they put them to flight. Well, the commander ordered his men, go in and hamstring them. Go in and cut the hamstring of their legs so they can't run. And you go on and spend your energy chasing the ones that are still fighting. But you go in and wound as many as you can so they can't fight. And then whenever you have time, we'll come back and we'll finish them off. You know, that's what the enemy wants to do to us. The enemy wants to hamstring every one of us. To come along that there's places in my life that maybe I'd love to be able to work for the Lord, but I find myself crippled. I find myself battling with something that I'm not able to overcome. I'm not able to get the victory in my own life. How can I go out and fight when I'm barely alive my own self? When I'm on life support my own self just trying to draw another breath. The Lord wants us to be able to fight. Whenever the enemy comes in and he tries to hinder us in our lives, he tries to cause us to just tread water in the same place and go around in circles. Lord, help us. The burden that I've had is, Lord, prepare us. Lord, help us that our house be set in order. Lord, prepare us for what's coming. Prepare us for tomorrow. Prepare us for whatever may lay ahead. In this time, in this day, the Lord has a work for every one of us that's in here. Every individual, young and old alike, the Lord has something He wants us to do. May not be a missionary or a preacher or whatever you want to list, but He has a work for us. He has something that He wants us to do to be able to fight against the enemy of our souls. But if we're not careful, we'll go through life spiritually crippled. We'll go through life just hobbling, just trying to get by and never able to be effectual in the work of the Lord. I don't know how better to say it than the way the Lord brought it directly to me. There are too many hung up in the world. There are too many that desired the work of God to go forth. They want to see this thing be here for years to come. They appreciate the saints, appreciate the church, but they're hung up in the world. They've got one arm that's pulling back behind them. The enemy's hindered them. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Galatians. Fifth chapter of Galatians. Beginning in the 16th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So that I find myself in a place, because I'm walking in the flesh, because I'm pulled in two different directions, you're not able to do the things that you would. How much does liberty mean to you? You know, this chapter is what I would call the liberty chapter. It starts out by saying, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, some would look at this idea of liberty and say it means I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm free to go out and live my life however I want to live my life. But Jesus, remember when he was dealing with the Pharisees, he said that the Son would make him free. And they said, what are you talking about? We're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. So how do you say we're going to be made free? He said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You don't realize it, but you're in bondage. You're in bondage to the flesh. You're in bondage to your own self. You're not able to go out and do the things that you would. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They're contrary the one to another. Our liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Whenever He came, as was prophesied, He's come to set the captives free. That's liberty. I'm free now. I'm not in bondage to the chains of Satan anymore. The things that the enemy held fast on me with sin, I'm released from it. I'm not under the power of it anymore. Stand fast in that liberty. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The enemy would like to come along and bring us back into a place of bondage. Back into a place that I find myself hindered. I find myself, I'm not able to do the things that I want to do. I'm not able to live a victorious life. This Christian liberty, it is the freedom and the ability to live for Christ as I should. To be able to have the victory that He wants me to have. That is the liberty, to be free to do that. The enemy wants to hinder that. But I would ask again, how much does liberty mean to you? There have been people throughout history that have found themselves in a place of oppression. You know, many times those people, read down through history, many times they come to a point that they say, we'll take no more. I'm not willing to be under this anymore. And they rise up and they say, I'm going to take back my liberty. Take back my freedom. Remember what Patrick Henry said leading up to the War of Independence? I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death. It means enough to me. And I want us to realize the importance of spiritual liberty by what it meant to these men. I'm willing to die for it. I'd rather have my liberty than to live in a state of bondage. I'd rather die than live in a state of bondage. I'd rather die than be under oppression. You know, that should be our resolve against the enemy of our soul. I'm willing to fight to the death. I'm willing to go out and hazard my life. I'd rather that than be in the bondage of Satan. I'd rather that than be brought into a place that I'm not able to live a victorious life. I'm not able to win the battles. I'm not able to have the victory in my life. The Lord has liberty for every one of us. The Lord wants to offer it. Not only offer it, but He wants to maintain that liberty in our lives. That we can stand fast in the liberty wherewith He's made us free. So that you cannot do the things that you would. I read a story, you might have heard it as well. There was a hiker by the name of Aaron Ralston. It's been a few years ago. He went hiking in Utah. He was a mountain climber and spent his time outdoors. And he went for a hike one day and bike ride and didn't think much of it. Didn't even notify those that were around him, his family, where he was going. And he went out and was climbing through the canyons of Utah. And he got to a boulder, and as he was climbing over the boulder and letting himself down the other side, it shifted. and 800 or 900 boulder then shifted, and it was a small crevice in the canyon. It shifted and it pinned his hand against the wall. And he was stuck. He said he tried to chip away at the rock. He tried to move it. He tried to budge it off of his arm. He said it wouldn't budge. He spent 5 days rationing the little bit of water that he had, the little bit of food that he had. He even recorded with his camera his final farewell to his family. Realized, I'm going to die in this place. There's no way anyone's going to find me. I've tried. I can't get free. I can't get loose from this thing. I'm pinned here. I'm doomed to die. On the 5th day, he began to get desperate. And he realized there's only one way I'm going to get free. And I want to use discretion in how I describe it. But he realized the only way I can do it is to cut my arm off. Can you imagine being in the place that you're desperate enough? And so he stood there, and all that he had was a little, believe it was an inch and a half or a 2-inch pocket knife. He said, I knew I had to break the bones. And he went by his own will, and he moved himself such that he heard both bones snap. And then he started the rest of the work. Through tendon, muscle, skin, until he got to the point that he was free. You know, that's desperation. That's desperately wanting to be free. And I would say to us here this evening, we need to have that same desperation. We need to have that same determination. I want to be free. If there's something that's got me pinned, there's something that's got me pinned to the world, I want to get free. I realize I'm going to die here. I realize I'm not making any progress. I've been working. I've been expending my energy and my efforts, and I can't get anywhere. You know, we need to get desperate. We need to get to the point that I say I'm willing to cut off some of the flesh. It's not pleasant. It hurts. It's painful. But I need to be willing to say I'm willing to cut off some of this man. I'm willing to let go of some of that flesh. I'm willing to turn loose of it. I'm willing to go through some pain. I'm willing to take that way so that I can be free. The Lord wants us to desire liberty that badly. Desire our spiritual liberty. I want to be free to serve the Lord. I want to be free to fight in His work. I don't want to be hindered. I don't want to be pulled back always by this thing I'm dragging along. The Lord told the children of Israel at one point, they had been encamped at a mountain for a while. He said, you've been encamped here long enough. Turn you northward and go north. I've thought of that before. The Lord's had to deal with me in these lines. You've been here long enough. You've been circling around this mountain for a long time. You felt safe here. You felt a level of comfort here. A level of security. There weren't any giants that were fighting against you. But it's time to turn northward. It's time to go on. It's time to move on and make some progress. You know, the Lord wants us to make some progress in this battle we're fighting. To be able to make some ground, to be able to make some headway. The Lord does not intend for us to just go in circles. When I go in circles, I see the same things over and over. I pass by the same places and I say, here we are again. And here we are again, never able to get over it. Am I desperate enough to say, I'm willing to cut free those things that bind me? You know what makes a perfect circle? Didn't bring it to illustrate, but if I took a string, say 12 inches long, and I held one end of that string and the other end with a marker and went around, it'd make a perfect circle. You've circled around this mountain long enough. There's something anchoring you here. I fear there are too many that are anchored to the world. There are too many that are anchored to things that I'm trying to hold on to in my life. And I can make that hiker, no doubt, made every other attempt that he could. Surely there's some other way. Surely I don't have to go to that length. But are you willing to turn loose? If there's something that's truly holding me back, something that's truly holding me staked to the ground, and I can't go, I can't make progress, the Lord wants us to make straight paths for our feet. Wants us to be able to make some progress in our lives. The enemy would try to steal that liberty from us. You know, he doesn't always just do it by an onslaught. One day coming against us with a battle so hard that it just overwhelms us. But I'd like for us to consider a quote that's attributed to Nikita Khrushchev, the Soviet Union. He said, "We will take America without firing a shot. We will bury you. We can't expect the American people to jump from capitalism to communism, but we can assist their elected leaders in giving them small doses of socialism until they awaken one day to find they have communism. We do not have to invade the United States. We will destroy you from within." Yes. You know, we can look around at our times. We can look around at our nation. But I want us to consider right now spiritually. The enemy wants little by little by little to take our liberty. The enemy wants to encroach a little bit here and a little bit there. It may seem like something that's very small. Small doses of socialism. One little change introduced. And maybe it seems a little strange to me, but I grow accustomed to it. And then a little while later, here's another change that's introduced. Until you get to the point progressively that you say, "I'm nowhere near where I was." That's how the enemy wants to fight. That's how he wants to work against us. Little by little by little to take our liberty and bind us more and more until I'm to the point that I'm held fast and I'm bound. A man named Adolf Hitler wasn't at one time considered to be too much of a threat. At one point was in prison and he escaped and didn't even bother to go try to find him. He's nobody. Nobody worth trying to chase down. But he had some ideas and he had written about them. But nobody seemed to really pay attention to the intention that he had. He began building his force, building his power from within. And at first it started out with, "We want to have a strong, unified country. Well, we want the Rhineland region, and we'll stop there. That's all we want." And then he said from there, "We want just the borders of Czechoslovakia. We don't want the whole land, but that's where a lot of Germans are. We want to be able to reunite them together, so we want just the border regions of Czechoslovakia." The Allies said, "It's not worth fighting. Let him go, he'll be done." And he said, "That's all we want. That's the only thing that I'm requiring. Just let us have this and we'll be done. We'll be finished." He said, "It's not worth opposing him. Just let him do it." They even met with him at one point. And he agreed, "I'm done. It's peace in our time. You can expect peace. I'm not interested in taking over the world or any more of Europe. I'm done." And so they tried to appease him. And then he decided he'd take all of Czechoslovakia. And then he said, "I'm done." But then he started invading Poland. And in just a matter of weeks, had taken over Poland. And he said, "I'm done." But then he started invading France. By this point now, the Allies were saying, "Wait a minute, this has gone on way too long. We've got to start trying to mobilize. We've got to start trying to come against this man before it's too late." By that time, he was so entrenched. He was so strengthened in what he was doing. You know, the enemy does not fight by any rules of warfare. The enemy does not abide by any agreements. He doesn't abide by any leagues that we might try to make with him. "All right, Satan, I've considered it. I'll give you this one little place in my life. I'll give you this one little territory. I'll concede just this one little bit. But you've got to stop there." He'll agree. He'll tell you, "That's all I want. That's all I'm interested in. I'm not trying to take over your life." But then when he gets there, it's the next little thing. And then when he gets there, it's the next little thing. Every step of the way saying, "I'm done. I'm done. I don't want any more. If you just allow me to in this little part of your life, then I'll be done." Meanwhile, he's advancing and he's strengthening. Strengthening his hold. Strengthening his fortitude that he has in our lives. Lord, help us to stand fast. Lord, help us when we see the encroachment of the enemy to say, "I'm not giving up no ground. I'm not giving up any territory. No, I'm not going to let you have that. No, I'm not letting you into that part of my life. I'm standing my ground. I'm holding the line right here, and I'm not going to give it up. It doesn't matter the oppression. It doesn't matter the pressure that you put against me. I'm fighting, Satan. This means enough to me. I'm standing right here and holding my ground. You know, when we do that, we're not standing alone. We're not standing in our own strength. It's not foolish for us to do. With Christ as our commander, we cannot fail. With Him lifting up a standard against the enemy of our souls, He cannot overcome us. Paul addressed, if you were to read throughout this fifth chapter, he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I came and you were set free. But something's happened. Someone's hindered you. There's something that's begun to pull you down and drag you down and tie you and bind you. Don't allow yourself to be entangled again. Don't allow yourself to be pulled back to what you were set free from. You know the scripture that says a dog's return to his own vomit? It's hard to imagine, but that's what the enemy does. Whenever we're set free, he wants little by little to turn us back to right where we came from. If we let him, he'll do it. Said in one place and to Gentiles such as these, don't partake of meat offered to idols. You realize what that meant to them? In the pagan culture that they lived in, that pretty much said, don't participate in the feasts. Don't participate in the holidays. Don't participate in the public celebrations that they have, because they offer meat unto idols. And they said it before you. Yes, you might say that I'm not eating it unto the idol. But he's saying here, guard your liberty. You've been set free. Don't put any occasion to stumble in your own path or in another's path. You guard the liberty that you've been set free with. Don't allow yourself to be put into a place that I could be drawn back into what I was set free from. You know what that would have meant? People look at me strange. If Paul had addressed this to me, and I was living in that time, and I wasn't doing those kind of things, the people that I associated with would look at me strange. You're not doing what? You're not going where? Perhaps the children, the teenagers would have said, but Mom and Dad, come on, what's the danger in it? This thing didn't start with our generation. This caution didn't start in 1880. This carefulness of life did not start with those that we knew. Down throughout time, down all through the gospel dispensation, guard yourself. Guard your liberty. Keep yourself from the world. Don't allow yourself to be drawn in. Don't allow yourself to be tied down to the world. That's the only way that you'll be free. That's the only way that you'll have the liberty to be able to serve the Lord as you ought to serve Him. So I want to challenge us here. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 9 before we close. If you've been oppressed of the enemy, if you found Satan stealing from you, the enemy trying to encroach on the territory of your life, trying to take spiritual ground from you, I would to God tonight that we stand up and say it's enough. That I say, I'm not taking any more, Satan. I'm not going to let you run over me anymore, because I don't have to. I don't have to allow this. Christ came to do more than this. He came to give me a power greater than this. I'm not willing to give up any more ground. I'm willing. I want to say, I want to make my statement. I want to make my stand. I'm fighting in the army of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9, the 26th verse. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want us to notice that 26th verse. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I don't fight as one that's just flailing his arms in the air without purpose, not knowing what I'm doing, not able to make any ground, just expending all my energy and all my efforts, but never able to get anywhere. This was an allusion, I believe, to the Grecian games of boxing. Now, I've unfortunately done a little bit of that. That was usually on the receiving end. In fact, Brother Marty used to stay with us during camp meeting, and he'd get out in the garage with us, and he'd play around some with us, and I don't know where he got it from or where he learned it from, but I usually ended up leaving hurting. I was as this man that beat the air. I could sure swing, but it seemed like I never connected. I'd swing around. I'd think, I'm bigger than him. I'm going to be able to really connect with this one. And I'd swing real wide, and he'd duck, and he'd come in from the other side. And I'd take one. I'd think, how did that happen? And I'd be determined I'm not going to let it happen again. And I'm going to go in again over and over and over until I said, I'm done. You can have it. We don't want to fight spiritually that way. We don't have to. I don't have to just swing my arms wildly without purpose. Lord, teach my hands to fight. Lord, teach me how to do war against the enemy of my soul. Whenever he comes and he's fighting against me, Lord, I need to know how to take that back. I need to know how to stand against him. The Lord will teach us. He taught the children of Israel. When another generation arose up that knew not war, he taught them. He taught them how to war. The Lord wants to teach us how to war, an effectual warfare, not beating the air, but able to have some decisive victories in our lives. You believe that it's what Jesus came to do for us? Yes. That I can have some decisive, conclusive victories. That I can raise up some Ebenezer stones in my life and say, I fought this battle once. I met the enemy here. I struggled over that one. I lost a little blood over it, but by the grace of God, there's the memorial to say I got victory over it. I rose above it. I was able to go beyond, and I was able to keep on pressing forward. The Lord wants to give us some victories. The Lord wants to give us some Ebenezer stones tonight. I'd like to turn in closing to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, the 4th chapter. The 6th verse. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 5-6 years after Paul wrote that to Timothy, Timothy, I'm passing off the scene now. I'm going to be moving on, but you know the work of God is greater than any one man. The work of God has never stopped. It is eternal and everlasting. But Timothy, there's a charge that goes to you now. You've got to fight. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to have my head taken off. But Timothy, you fight on. You're not another place that he told him, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. You don't have to go into this battle cowered down, but go and boldly declare in the name of the Lord, I'm taking this battle. I'm going to stand. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to win the victory. We can do that through Jesus Christ. But all the time of my departure is at hand, and this too can be the end of every one of our stories. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I'm done now. Paul said, through weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hungering and thirsting and fastings often and cold and nakedness and perils by brethren and by countrymen and shipwreck and perils in the sea and all those things. You know what he also told, I believe it was Timothy? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's going to be some hardship. There are going to be some battles that you have to fight. Some things that you have to spend some time on your knees. Don't consider it just a shot across the bows. Sometimes we can get into a lazy spiritual condition. I want to be able to pray, Lord, help me with this. Lord, give me the victory. Amen. And consider it done. Warfare is more than that. Fighting the enemy of my soul is more than that. I've got to be willing to endure some hardness. I've got to be willing to say, Lord, I care enough about this thing. I'm going to get in here until the victory is won. I'm not going to let up until I gain the victory in this battle. We're able to do that. We're able to overcome. We're able, through all the hardships of life that we go through, Be encouraged to know that we're more than overcomers. Be encouraged to know that we can be strong in the power of His might. It's not our own might. We're not standing in our own ability, but by the grace and the power of God. I want to encourage us tonight. Stand up. Be willing to say, Satan, I'm done. Satan, I'm fighting. I'm willing to fight in the army of the Lord. I'm willing to stand up. I'm willing to take back the ground that you've taken from me. I'm not willing to sit back and watch this happen. My own life, to my brethren, to my family, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to enlist. I'm ready to say the song that's come to my mind throughout the last few weeks, I give my all to Thee. 4:36 maybe. The last part of that chorus says, forever keep me free. Lord, I'm giving You my all. Lord, I'm coming. You're the commander. You're the captain of our salvation. Lord, I acknowledge. I confess. I want to enlist. I want to say, Lord, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight in the army of the Lord. I'm ready to stand firm. I'm ready to help gain some victories and some battles. So, Lord, I give You my all. I give You my life. I give You everything that I am. Lord, make me a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ to be able to stand up, to be able to say as Paul did, I fought a good fight. You pray for me. Amen.